Good morning. I'm Pete Smith, and I'm one of the facilitators of the meditation group that meets here on a Thursday evening. Before saying anything else, I'd like to thank St. Mark's for their hospitality over the last 15 years. Some people here may be very familiar with who Thich Nhat Hanh is, while others may not know who he is at all. To go into full details of his biography would take all the time available for this talk, but I'd like to give a brief outline for those who've never heard of him. His teachings have a depth that comes from his monastic training and from the experiences that he lived through. Thich Nhat Hanh's friends usually call him Thai, which means teacher. Born in 1926 in French-occupied Vietnam, Thay became a novice at the age of 16 and a fully ordained monk in 1949. 17 years later, in 1966, he received what's called the lamp transmission to become a Dharma teacher. That's when he received the Dharma title Thich Nhat Hanh, which he translates as one action. So if you add that up, it amounts to 24 years of training. During the Vietnam War, Thay founded the School of Youth for Social Service, which trained young volunteer social workers to help in the reconstruction of bombed villages. They also looked after orphaned children and helped in flood relief efforts. Thay's first book, The Miracle of Mindfulness, was originally written as a letter to help his volunteers sustain themselves under these extremely difficult conditions. In 1966, Thay went to the United States to call for a ceasefire, and he met many people, including Martin Luther King and Thomas Merton. Having done this, he was not allowed back to Vietnam and ended up living in exile in France. In 1977, he chartered a ship to try to help rescue some of the boat people who fled Vietnam following the communist takeover after the fall of Saigon. Several very moving poems date from that period, and they have a contemporary echo with the refugees fleeing from Syria. Thay founded a small meditation centre called Sweet Potato, a couple of hours' drive from Paris. As the number of people interested in his teachings grew, the community needed larger accommodation, and on two abandoned farms in the southwest of France, Thay established Plum Village. Over the years, the Plum Village Sangha has led retreats for war veterans, police officers, people of colour, groups of Palestinians and Israelis, and families with children. Practice centres have also been established in America, Thailand and Germany. In 2005 and 2007, Thay was allowed to visit Vietnam, and he led huge collective ceremonies aimed at healing the wounds of war. When Thay was still giving talks, he constantly refreshed and renewed the way he spoke about things so as to keep the practice up to date and relevant to contemporary needs. In November 2014, Thay had a stroke, but he continues to be well looked after by the Sangha. Okay, so that's an outline of the biography, and now I'd like to move on to talk about three aspects of the practice that have resonated with me: presence, connection and community. First of all, presence. Thay himself has described his practice as a process of arriving home to the present moment. There's a poem we use for walking meditation and sometimes for sitting meditation. It goes like this: I have arrived, I'm home, in the here and in the now. I'm solid, I'm free, in the ultimate I dwell. When he was first exiled from Vietnam, Thay naturally missed his homeland. He tells of a recurring dream in which he saw a beautiful green hill with many lovely trees. After climbing halfway up the hill, he would wake up and find himself in exile. He gradually learnt to get in touch with the beautiful things in Europe, and once he'd done so, the dream stopped of its own accord. So in a way, this is the story of an exile who learned to find a deeper sense of home in the present moment. The present moment is where life is, and so to live in the present is to go in the direction of life. I once attended a retreat with Thay at Nottingham University in England. After walking meditation, Thay sat under a tree enjoying a cup of tea, and the peace that settled around him was tangible. It's hard to describe how unusual it is to experience someone with no restlessness, no sense of needing to be anywhere else, someone who can be completely content with enjoying a cup of tea. This is what Thay calls stopping, and it is the first aspect of meditation. To help us stop, we use the bell, and we call it the bell of mindfulness. When you hear the sound of the bell, you may like to say to yourself silently, "Listen, listen, this wonderful sound brings me back to my true home." Let's now use the bell to enjoy a few moments of peace together. We normally invite the bell 3 times at the start of a period of meditation, so you will have 3 opportunities to enjoy listening to the bell. I'll then say a little sentence with just 2 words at the end. You can say one of the words to yourself during your in-breath and one during the out-breath. For example, I might say, "Breathing in, I know I'm breathing in. Breathing out, I know I'm breathing out. In, out." So you're welcome to say in silently to yourself on the in-breath and out on the out-breath. Breathing in, I know that I'm breathing in. Breathing out, I know that I'm breathing out. In, out. Breathing in, I allow my body and mind to become calm. Breathing out, I smile. Calming, smiling. Breathing in, I dwell in the present moment. Breathing out, I know this is a wonderful moment. Present moment, wonderful moment. So that was an experience of being present, which was the first theme of my talk. By being present, we can connect with ourselves and start to become more aware of our body, feelings and mind. And connection is the second theme I'd like to touch on. Having connected with ourselves, we can then start connecting with each other by listening attentively with an open mind. Thay said, the greatest gift we can offer anyone is our true presence. Listening leads to understanding, and understanding is the foundation of love. Connecting with our roots is another important aspect of the practice. By realizing the unbroken stream of connection with our blood ancestors, spiritual ancestors, and land ancestors, we can tap into strengths that have been passed down through our lineage. Thay has never wanted his Western followers to become disconnected from their roots. He has described those who are detached from their roots as hungry ghosts, constantly searching for love, but unable to receive and absorb it when offered. Connecting with the earth summarizes another fundamental aspect of Thay's teaching. There is nothing that can exist that can be all by itself. Everything is interconnected. Everything has to inter-be. We've already heard some lovely piano music this morning. The casing of the piano is made of wood, which comes from trees. The trees need sunlight and water and soil to grow. Very skilled carpenters have made the casing from the wood, and they'll have needed specialist tools. They will have learnt their craft from a long lineage of other instrument makers. The sheet music uses a notation system that has its origins in medieval plain song. So countless things have come together to make that music possible. That's not just true for music. If you reflect deeply enough on anything, you'll find it's connected with everything else. And that brings us to the third theme of my talk, which is community. Thay has always said the collective energy of mindfulness is stronger than our individual energy. And many friends have come to us on a Thursday night who have said how much easier it was for them to meditate in a group rather than on their own. The basic aim is to go in the direction of the good, the beautiful and the true, and to build communities that are places of nourishment and healing. The New Year is an important time of celebration in Vietnam as much as in Scotland, and here is an extract from from Ty's address to our ancestors in the new year. We are determined to help build a society in which people are not always busy, where little is consumed and there's plenty of time to live with nature, look after nature, bring happiness to, care for and smile to each other. Another aspect of community is that when you live in a close community, you become very aware of and cannot escape the consequences of your actions on the people around you. This leads to understanding of interconnectedness at a deeper level. The Plumbilish Sangha have developed skillful ways to work with misunderstandings and different viewpoints. The practice is underpinned by clear ethical guidance for children, for members of the wider community, members of the core community, novices and monastics. In many ways, the two promises for children sum up the essence of this path. I vow to develop understanding in order to live peacefully with people, animals, plants and minerals. And I vow to develop my compassion in order to protect the lives of people, animals, plants and minerals. Our Sangha in Edinburgh is a lay, non-residential practice group which is open to anyone who wants to drop in. The name Wild Geese was suggested by Annie Lodrow, one of the founder members, who was inspired by the way geese support each other as they fly. The imagery of the geese figured prominently in her lamp transmission ceremony at Plumbilish in February 2012. The geese can fly further and more efficiently with each other's support, and this symbolises the way Sangha members support each other's practice.